Isaiah chapter 24. Yahweh is about to empty the land of people and desolate it. He's going to turn it upside down and scatter its inhabitants. Well, this sort of happened a little bit when the Babylonians came and they destroyed Jerusalem. But actually, they left the majority of the people in the land. They took the upper classes into captivity, people like Daniel and Ezekiel before him. But actually, all the poor of the land, who were the majority of the people, they were left there. So actually, God didn't do quite as extremely as he said. So this isn't that God's not serious about what he says. He is serious, but it shows how he is very, very compassionate. It's like a father getting really angry with his children and saying, look, if you do this, this is going to happen. And they do it. But he doesn't quite do the punishment that he says. Now, that does not mean in God's case that we can just shrug and think, oh, God's not serious. No, but it does show how compassionate God is. It will be the same for the ordinary people as for the priests, the same for the servants as for their masters, for the female servants as for their mistresses, for the buyer as for the seller, for the lender as for the borrower. The earth is going to be emptied of people and laid completely waste, because Yahweh has spoken this message. So it's not so that it was just a few bad people up the top. The people get the leadership that they really want and that they really deserve in the end. It was the ordinary people who weren't as guilty as anyone else. We saw that at the beginning of Isaiah when he says both the earth and the heavens are going to be judged. The heavens are like the leaders and the earth is like the ordinary people. The earth will dry up and wither. The earth will languish and fade away, and the heavens as well, along with the earth. Now, as I've said, the earth and heaven are not used in a literal sense. The physical planet and the actual heavens are not going to be destroyed. He's talking in a figurative sense, because God has promised to give the earth to Abraham and his seed forever. So the planet is not going to be destroyed. But when we read about earth and heaven, like here, being destroyed, he says the earth along with the heavens are going to fade away, just as he's just said, it's going to be the same for the ordinary people as well as for their leaders. In other words, all sectors of society were going to suffer. The earth is defiled, and the earth often means the land of Israel. The earth or the land is defiled by the people living on it. They've broken the laws and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse comes upon them. Well, the curse for breaking the covenant was not the destruction of the physical planet, but rather the suffering of God's people. The new wine evaporates. The wine and the oil dry up. All those who are rejoicing are now groaning. Instead of celebrating with the tambourine, there is now no sound of joy, and the harp is no longer being played. No longer do they drink wine and sing. Even their beer tastes bitter to those who are drinking it. The city, that's Jerusalem, lies broken down. Every house is closed up, and nobody can enter them. There's crying in the streets. Joy has turned to sadness. The city is desolated, and her gates lie ruined. That's what Nehemiah found, wasn't it, when he came, and Ezra found as well. And so it will be, like when an olive tree is beaten, and when there are a few gleanings from the grape harvest. In other words, out of all this, there was to arise a remnant, a small number of repentant people. Whether that happened at the time, I doubt. But in the last days, this is the purpose of the judgment to come upon the earth. That is the land promised to Abraham. That a few, a remnant, like the few bits of gleaning that are left after the olive harvest or the grape harvest, just a few little grapes left. That's it. That there will be a few who repent. Both, I think, from the people of Israel and amongst the other people, the Arab peoples who live in the land promised to Abraham. And then you have a vision of the kingdom, how it's going to be when this very small remnant do repent. They will raise their voices shouting from joy. From the west they will cry aloud of Yahweh's majesty, and you in the east, you will give glory to Yahweh. You who live in the coastlands by the sea, you will give glory to Yahweh, the God of Israel. From the very ends of the land we hear songs of praise, glory to the righteous one. But I said, this is Isaiah, but I'm pining away, things are awful for me, people are betraying and being treacherous. So Isaiah's a bit like us, he's saying, yep, sure, you give me this vision of the kingdom, but right now my life's awful. And that's how, in a sense, it is. But we're looking ahead to the kingdom, and it's not going to be right immediately now. The suffering must come before the crown. Terrors and the pit and a snare are coming upon you, you who live on the land. Those who try to flee away will fall into a pit. Those who climb out of the pit will be captured in a snare. God has opened the windows of heaven in judgment upon the earth, and the foundations of it will shake. The land will be totally shattered and split apart, violently shaken. That sounds like earthquakes splitting the land. Well, we know that's going to happen in the last days. I'm not sure it really happened at the time of the Babylonians when they attacked Israel or Judah. But we know that there's going to be a huge earthquake, Zechariah says, when Jesus comes back, when he stands upon the Mount of Olives again. It's going to be an earthquake, and the Mount of Olives will divide. The land will reel backwards and forwards like a drunk person, swaying like a hut that's being blown by the wind because of the heaviness of the sin that they have committed. And it will happen at that time that Yahweh will punish the rulers in the heavens and the people on the earth. Again, you see heaven and earth used in a figurative sense. They'll be gathered together into the pit as if in a prison. Then the sun and the moon will be ashamed, but Yahweh of hosts will reign on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and then there will be glory. So the whole system, the heaven and earth of Israel, is to suffer, but in the end, God is going to be king on Mount Zion. And on the Temple Mount, it seems that God himself is going to live. And Ezekiel says it will be called Yahweh Shammah. That is, Yahweh is there. God himself will eventually live on earth. And that's the light at the end of our tunnel.